Not to say. I'm going to give out sheets. I'm going to glean that. I will give out sheets in future shiurim. Okay.
Wow.
But today, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, or very rarely do, and that is to give a little bit of an introduction. Okay. People who know me for a while know I'm not into introductions. I like to just jump into things. But I think that for Sefer Mitzvot. It will be helpful to just say a few words of introduction today, and then we're going to seriously start learning Sefer HaMitzvot really on Sunday, unless there's some scheduling issue, which does happen from time to time, about four or five times a week. And in any case, old timers know what I'm talking about, but we will, Sunday or whatever it is, the next day that we have 4 o'clock slot, we'll really jump in. So today is going to be a little bit introductory, bear with me. I think that we'll cover some interesting points, but this is going to be atypical of what we're going to be doing in general. Okay, so I have a few brief notes to myself. This is what we're going to be doing. This probably would be better in a different spot. Let me move this right over here. Okay, there we go. Okay, just out of curiosity, and not to be embarrassed about, but how many people have, I'm not saying from cover to cover, but as opposed to just looking up a source here or there or hearing an individual share, how many people have, sat down and learned through a good chunk of Sefer HaMitzvot? Okay. That justifies my assumption, which is that Sefer HaMitzvot is a little more off the beaten track than I'm sure that if I said, how many people have, sat down and read a good part of, picked a lot of other things, so how many people have, sat down and learned, a piece of a Masechta Keseder or a section of the Rambam, of Mishnah Torah, whatever. I'm sure I've gotten a lot more people. I'm not going to run on the spot, but I'm sure I've gotten a lot more hands up than we just did. And for that reason, I want to give a little bit of introduction as to what Sefer HaMitzvot is about. Particularly, not really in the sense of what's about. What I really mean is, what is the Rambam trying to do? What is the Ramban trying to do in their particular Sfarim here? Because really, it's two Sfarim, not one that we're going to be looking at. It's the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvot, number one. Number two, the Ramban's Hasagot on Sefer HaMitzvot, which is really, although it's on Sefer HaMitzvot, it's almost a separate Sefer by itself of tremendous significance and importance. We're going to be looking at both of those side by side. Just to get a start, I should mention that I think if any of us try to think of the three or four most important Rishonim, however you want to define most important, the three or four most important Rishonim, we all made a list and then, kind of based on popularity, crunched it down, I'm almost certain that both the Rambam and Ramban would be on that list of the most important Rishonim. No matter who else he had on the list, almost sure that they would have to make the top four or five for sure. And the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam and the Ramban really gives us a window into looking at and understanding a tremendous amount about their thought, their understanding, about a lot of things that are very, very fundamental, particularly to just the whole process of Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. And for that reason, I think that this is a very important thing to be learning. I can tell you that every time I've opened Sefer HaMitzvot for a serious amount of time and learned it, I found so many fascinating things that have just been helpful in so many different areas. So, I invite you on the journey, and we're going to get started. So, just a few things that I have a few areas I want to cover. Let me start with, what is the Rambam trying to accomplish, and what is the Ramban trying to accomplish? What are they doing? Okay? Let me start, maybe, with the Ramban. Okay? We'll come back to the Rambam. First, the Ramban, because that's a little trickier. Okay, the Ramban wrote a lot of different types of Sfarim. One of the types of Sfarim that he wrote over the years, one particular thing that he did a lot of, or at least on several different occasions, is to write the type of Sefer that he wrote on Sefer HaMitzvot. It's very important to understand the nature of that work of the Ramban, because otherwise it's very misleading. Okay, and there's not a chiddush, many have commented on this, but it's important to understand because people, I'm going to give you an example of something that people get wrong all the time. Okay, about a year ago, I was reading a sefer that was highly recommended to me by a good friend and colleague. And I was reading the Sefer, and I get up to this point where it talked about something that I'd heard many times before, and I was like, wasn't the first time, so taken aback by it. It talks about the famous machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether Anochi is a mitzvah aseh or not. Right? How many people have heard the famous machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether Anochi, right, the first of the aseh, whether that's a mitzvah aseh? Right? Anyone hear of that? Okay? There is no such machloket. It doesn't exist. There is no such machloket. Okay? So why are there so many people, including a lot of fine Talmid Chacham, who think this is a machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban about Anochi? And you can find, it's not hard. It's not hard to find people who think that. And it's wrong. It's black and white. I mean, it's not, you know, you ask my kids, and some of you know me better than others. Some of us haven't met yet, and we'll hopefully look forward to the pleasure of the course of the month. But my own children, and I'm sure a lot of my Talmidim as well, but you know, my children are a little more open with me sometimes, you know, making fun of me. So in my house, you know, my kids will make fun of me because as soon as a question comes up at the Shabbos table or whatever, we're sitting around, and, you know, and if someone will look at me, and then they'll all go, we know what Abba's going to say. He's going to say, it's not Pasha. Right? Because they know it's, you know, my standard answer that, you know, like, there's more than one way of looking at it, you know, it's Machloket, whatever it is. And there are very few things I'll say, you know, black and white. It's just like wrong. There is no such machloket. It's black and white, really. There is no such machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban, even though a lot of people think that there is. Why? So the answer is very simple. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah aseh of Anochi. Okay, that's the first of his mitzvot. The first mitzvah that he mentions in Sefer Mitzvot. And again, you'll have text in the future. That's just an introduction. So he says, "Vatatchil l'zkor mitzvot." Says, he goes the whole thing, and he quotes, of course, you know, Anochi Hashem, and counts. He says that that's one of the Targ mitzvot. That's mitzvah say number one. The Ramban, in his Hasagot on the Sefer Mitzvot, starts giving a defense of the Bahag, okay, the Bahag, the Baal Halacha Gedolot, and I have a Halacha Gedolot here. I can juggle for a second. I brought it from home because I don't think we have a Halacha Gedolot here, which is kind of shocking. But anyhow, this is one of many editions of the Halacha Gedolot. If anyone wants to look at it, keep it on my farm shelf over there. The Halacha Gedolot, right, is known as the first Jewish Sefer to have the first Jewish book to have an introduction. And the introduction of the Bahag, amongst other things, but primarily, he goes through the Tayag Mitzvah, very briefly. Okay, he gives a list of the Tayag Mitzvah as he counts it. And we'll see that's very important in terms of the whole story of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah. In any case, the Bahag, one of the great Sfarim of the Gaonim, don't exactly know who wrote the Bahag, that's what's called the Bahag Baal Halach Gedolot, or the author of the Halach Gedolot is. There's a lot of confusion in Rishonim, and there's a lot of discussion in scholars, etc. about it. But in any case, the Halach Gedolot, one of the tremendous Sfarim of the Gaonim, gives us an enumeration of the mitzvot. The Rambam very often disagrees, and of those times he disagrees, a lot of times will sharply critique the enumeration of the Bahag amongst other Gaonim and Rishonim. Okay, but the Bahag is like the original major counter of the mitzvot. In any case, the Bahag is attacked by the Rambam, and one of the things he's attacked for is that he doesn't count Anochi. Okay, the Bahag does not count Anochi. And the Rambam says it's so pashut, of course you have to count Anochi, and he gives these proofs, right? In mitzvah say Aleph, the Ramban then presents the whole case for the shita of the Halacha Gedolot. He says, no, the Halacha Gedolot has a basis. This is why he says what he does. I'll bring you a raya that shows that it makes sense that you should say this, and there's a reason why it seems to be true. And he goes through this whole long thing. Okay, I'll just show you exactly what it is over here in this particular edition of the Sefer Mitzvot. So he has this discussion over here and over here, and then you get to the very last line of the Ramban, and he says, "Aval od b'mitzvot lo ta'asei. Number hey, then the fifth, lo ta'asei eva'er ha'mechuvar liyoter. Okay, when it comes to lo ta'asei, number five, I'll tell you what I really think. See what happened here? In other words, the Ramban at length presents the case for the Bahag of not counting it. In the last sentence, he says, what I really think the pshat is, which agrees with the Rambam, in the sense that he counts Anochi as one of the mitzvah, say. So that he presents, right, at the very, you know, in Lo Ta'aseh number 5. If you look at the Ramban on Chumash, on the Aseret Divrot, you'll see the same thing. He says explicitly on Anochi that it's a mitzvah, say, in so many words. And Ramban consistently holds this one of the mitzvah say. He doesn't disagree with the Rambam about counting Anochi. There is no machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban. There is a machloket between the Rambam and the Bahag, right? And the Ramban explains why the position of the Bahag is not ridiculous, why it's a reasonable position, even though, bottom line, that's not what he thinks is really true. The Ramban kind of made a career of doing this kind of thing, okay? And he wrote a whole bunch of svar, the purpose of which is to defend some earlier great Gaon or Rishon, such as the Bahag or the Rif, for example, right, from an attack of some later Rishon, whether that be the Rambam, whether that be the Ravid or the Baal Ma'or, even in places where he agrees with the person who is attacking. Right? So, for example, there are many places where the Baal Ma'or will attack the Rif, and the Ramban in the Milchamos will come along and explain why the attacks of the Baal Ma'or are wrong and why, you know, the position of the Rif makes sense, etc., even though he really thinks, bottom line, that the Baal Ma'or Shita is correct. Okay? Or the Bahag and the Rambam and so on and so forth. It's very important to understand that the purpose of the Ramban is not to show that the Rambam is wrong necessarily, but simply to explain why the Bahag and other earlier Gaonim Rishonim weren't, you know, without basis, weren't ridiculous, weren't saying stupid things or things that are just out and out wrong, but rather that they had their position, it made sense, it was consistent internally, it could be, you know, justified in terms of the primary sources, but on balance, you know, in technical terms, what the Ramban really made a career of doing is explaining why so many of these things, he would argue that these people were maybe Toa b'Shikol Hadat, but not Toa b'Dvar Mishnah. Okay? And we don't need to discuss that right at the moment, but that's an important point over here. Okay, so that's the Ramban. So you have to be careful when you read the Ramban, that the Ramban is not always presenting, you know, he basically plays devil's advocate a lot. Okay, it doesn't mean he doesn't tell you he's doing it, but it's sometimes subtle, and you have to watch for it. It's kind of interesting that the same thing in the end happened to the Ramban. The Ramban has many sharp criticisms. Anyone's read the Ramban on Chumash, and everyone, of course, sure, you know, has learned the Ramban on Chumash at least many, many times, because, like, you can't learn Chumash without the Ramban. It's like, okay, the Ramban many times attacks the Rambam, whether in Mor Nevuchim and Shmona Prakim, very, very strongly. And the Ritva, who was a Talmud of Talmidei HaRamban, a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Ramban, and considered the Ramban ultimately to be his Rebbe in the somewhat similar way that, you know, many people are Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, you know, and kind of view the Rav that way. So the Ritva, who felt that, you know, the Ramban was it, and, you know, and the Ramban was always right, etc., ultimately wrote an entire sefer called Sefer HaZikaron, going through every place where the Ramban attacks the Rambam, defending the Rambam. Even though he says in his Akdama and elsewhere in the sefer that he felt that really ultimately the Ramban was right because, you know, the Ramban was a Mekubal and the Rambam was only a rationalist and so on and so forth. In any case, that's the, you know, again, I'm presenting the Ritva's point of view. It's just interesting that the kind of how, you know, the Mishnah Avot comes to mind. Okay, be that as it may, the point is that that's what the Ramban is doing. What's the Rambam doing? So the Rambam, this is very interesting. The Rambam, again, what's the Rambam trying to do? So the Rambam tells us exactly what the purpose of Sefer Mitzvot is. Okay, including the part of Sefer Mitzvot that we're most going to focus on, especially initially, which are the Sharashim, the 14 principles that the Rambam gives for how he decides whether something is included in the Tariq Mitzvot or not included. Okay? And those Sharashim are really what we're going to, you know, focus on very heavily. Okay, so the Rambam, in his Hakdama to Sefer Mitzvot, explains exactly why he did it. He said, and you can all look at that Hakdama, it's very simple and straightforward, just give you the key point. He says, look, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to write Mishnah Torah. Okay, and the purpose of Mishnah Torah, Rambam has a famous line, which he says, that basically wants people to be able to, without recourse to any other Sefer after Chumash, without anything with the Gaon and Mishonim, not even Shas, forget, you know, Mechilta, Sifra, Sifrei, Tosef, you can just forget about all that, Yushalmi, Bavli, you can just, you want to know what the halacha is, you just have to open a Mishnah Torah. Period. And that's going to include everything. So Ram says, I want to make sure it's going to really include everything. So what do I do? I have to have a game plan. I have to have a blueprint. How do I know that I'm going to not forget anything? How do I know that I'm going to really include everything? He said, the basic structure is the Tariq Mitzvah. That's the basic structure. Okay? Tariq Mitzvah. And, in fact, if you look at any part of the Rambam, anyone have a volume of the Rambam handy there? There you go, right over there. That volume of the Rambam, other than say the Mitzvah. Right? So if you just open up for a second. Oh, okay, pass the buck. Okay. If you just open up to anything at random, anything, Hilchot, whatever, so at the top of the page, you know, the right at the beginning, you'll see he always does the following. So I just opened up to the first thing at random. And Hilchot Sanhedrin, etc. Yesh bechalan shloshim mitzvot asay. Shloshim mitzvot. Eser mitzvot asay, vesrim mitzvot lo tasay. Vizel pratan. And then he goes on to list, these are the 30 mitzvot of the Tariq Mitzvot that are going to be discussed in Hilchot Sanhedrin. And that's at the beginning of any section of the Rambam. He'll do that, right? Okay. And that's not just a detail that he's telling you, that was actually the way the Rambam, at least according to his own words, organized, say, the Mishnah Torah. That's how he went about doing it. He goes on to say, so I want to write Mishnah Torah, he says, and I want it to be all of Torah Shabbat Al-Peh in terms of halacha, in terms of knowing what, you know, l'maisa, what to do, what not to do. He goes on to say that he therefore had to have a minyan hamitzvot. Okay, so he comes up with a minyan hamitzvot, but he says, very interesting, he says that he was concerned about the following. I want to just read you a couple of lines here. V'achar shnishlam li zeh inyan v'shtadalti la'asod ha-sefer v'luzkor ha-mitzvot kulam zichrom l'chlat. Misparam b'tichat ha-sefer. I have this enumeration at the beginning of Mishnah Torah. Hit orarti el ha-shorish shekvar ala b'da'ati zesh shanim rabot. V'hu b'mesh ha-monim min ha-mitzvot hinei nishtabshu bo rabim b'nyanim lo uchal l'saper godel genutam. I can't tell you how badly people have messed up the counting of the Tariq Mitzvot. I can't tell you how bad it is. Ki kol mi sheshtadel limnotam ulchaber sefer b'davar mehakavana hazot nimshechu kulam achar divrei baal halachot gedolot v'lo natu mikavanato b'misparam ki im netiya ktana ki ilu asfalim amdu eitzel ma'amar ha'ish hazeh. Said, don't understand, everyone blindly follows the Bahag with minor, you know, nuances. Basically, everyone blindly follows the enumeration of the Bahag. Ad shebaal sefer mitzvah for some, ra'it isher gish al chel katan mishibushay ba'alach gdolos v'rchik shimner bikur cholim, etc. Okay, so he says that you know, so he corrected all the mistakes of the Bahag. Okay, and says therefore, you know, he's aware of all of these things in these poems that are based on the Minyan HaMitzvot and the enumerations of the Minyan HaMitzvot. And he was afraid, the Kasherit Bonanti Bazaar, I'm skipping a little, the Kasherit Bonanti Bazaar, the Adati Pursum HaMinyan HaZaar, he knew how famous the Bahan's enumeration is, Bidei HaMon, amongst the masses, Yadati Ki Imez Korani HaMinyan HaAmiti, If I tell them the real count, right, if I give them the real list of the minyan mitzvah, shera'ur shimna, zichron b'chlat, mebuti raya, and I don't say what it's based on, hinea korea rishon, shikru'u, the first person who reads it, yichuyav machshav tosh, zet ta'ut, v'tiyet lo, riyata ta'ut, or rayata ta'ut, hiyotol b'chiluf, I said rayata ta'ut, b'chiluf mashtachar poni poni. Ah, he says, I'm going to write this list of mitzvah. What's going to happen? So I'm going to open up the list, my list of the mitzvah. They're going to say, what an idiot the Rambam is. He got it all wrong. And how do I know that? Well, it's different than Rav Haigon's count, the Bahag's count, the this one's count, that one's right. It's not the one that we all know what the Targum mitzvah are, and the Rambam just messed it all up. Kizeh. Okay, because that's how everyone works, right? That you know, nowadays that's how it is. No, they don't check out to see if it's really right or wrong. That's how people work. They don't check to see if it's right or wrong. They check to see, does it agree with what was written before? If it doesn't match up, it's wrong. Right? Without even checking out whether the original person was a bag right, was he wrong? Is what I'm saying right? Is it not right? So I better explain why I'm doing it. So therefore, the Rambam says that in order to present this minyan mitzvah, what I need to do is I need to explain what my operating principles are. Why do I count certain things and not count other things? What's it based on? What's the proof? And so on and so forth. Okay, so for that reason, says the Rambam, I'm going to write the Sharasha. Okay, now it's interesting that if you look at the Rambam's presentation of why he wrote Sefer HaMitzvah, it sounds tremendously, tremendously pragmatic. Right? And particularly the Shara Shem, right? But the whole Sefer Mitzvah is, why doesn't he just have this? He has the Mishnah Torah, just a brief list. Why does he have this whole Sefer, right? This whole Sefer explaining what are his operating principles, what's it based on, what's each mitzvah, what it's based on, and what are the sources, and how he knows that he counts this, you don't count this. It's all for pragmatic reasons. To explain why he did so people won't think he's wrong, etc. Okay? So, it sounds like, in the scheme of things, Sefer HaMitzvot, for the Rambam, as he writes in Akdama here, is not the most important thing in the world. It's not such a big deal. Right? It's kind of has a pragmatic value. It's not, he felt a need to write it. But basically, if you were to ask, based on what he writes over here in his Hakdama to Sefer Mitzvot, would you put this on the Rambam's list of things that, like, you know, you've got to learn this Sefer. This is very important. This is like, you know, real Yisodot. You've got to know this stuff. What would you say? Okay, I would have said no. Right? I said no. So it's interesting. I want to read you something else. Okay? The Rambam has a letter that he wrote the people of Tzur, and in the edition of the Shilat edition of the Igrot Harambam Chelech Aleph, it's on page Reish Chaf Bet to Reish Chaf Gimel. I just want to read you just a sentence or two. Now that's what the Rambam was writing. Sefer Mitzvot is relatively early in the life of the Rambam. It was the first major work of the Rambam, which he wrote. I don't want to make anyone feel bad, especially myself, since I'm a lot older than most people here. But the Perish Mishnayot, basically the Rambam wrote at a very young age. I won't go into details, so not make anyone feel bad, but Perish Mishnayot wrote at a very young age. Okay? Rambam lived to be all that old, Sahakol. Relatively speaking, Mishnah Torah was written around, he wrote over a long period of time, but it was written basically in his middle age. And Mor Nevuchim towards the end of his life. Okay? More or less, in very broad strokes. Sefer Mitzvot was, as he says, a kind of a prerequisite for writing Mishnah Torah. Okay? So it's really kind of in his, you know, pretty much youth that he writes Sefer Mitzvot. Later on, there's this tshuva which he writes, and he writes the following. Okay, and this is clearly, you know, much later on that he's looking back on. He says the following. Someone asked him about a detail in how he counted the mitzvot. He says, "V'zeh shamarti yididi shadvarim harbe yesham b'minyan mitzvot shenistapku lecha." There are many things that you had questions about in terms of how I counted the mitzvot. V'adai kachu, I understand your difficulty. You should know, though, sefer echad yeshli shechibartiv kodem chibur zeh shu mishnah Torah. Okay, before Mishnah Torah, I wrote another sefer. For otoa sefer kreativ sefer mitzvot. Bi'artibo minyan kol mitzvot mitzvah mitzvah. And there I explained each mitzvah, why I count the way I did. Ve'veiti ra'ayot al kol mitzvah she'esh ba'safek minasifra o misifrei o minatosefetot o min kol makom b'gmara. Vasit v'tchilato arba asar prakim yesh bahem kvalim gedolim v'ikarim rabim. And there I wrote major important principles. Okay? Let me read just another sentence. Shehen kaharim shekol hadvarim tuyim bahem. Bechulan hikdamti otam lavin adrachim sheitfos adam b'nyan mitzvot ad she'elu kahogen. Right, etc. V'lo yimneh kidero shemanu rabim shelo tafsu midot shor oili she'en alehem. As opposed to other people who just randomly count the mitzvot and didn't have a system, didn't have, you know, principles by which they decide what was counting and what was not. That's what the Rambam is saying. I'm not saying it's true. Okay, and others would argue that that's certainly not true, but in any case, that's what the Rambam is claiming. V'oto ha-sefer, and this is the sense I want you to listen to carefully, v'oto ha-sefer chibartiv b'lshon aravi, right, and that the Rambam wrote in Arabic, like virtually everything he wrote, including Perash Mishnah, including Mor Nevuchim, including most of his tshuvot, he wrote in Arabic, the base, you know, we write in English, right, so I wrote in Arabic, and you people in Tzor, you have that sefer. Kaman nuschaot, right? Higiu mimenuel ad Babel, etc. Ukvar hu yadua im yeshno etzuchem mimenu yistalei kol safek. V'nichamti harbe. Okay, listen carefully. V'nichamti harbe al shichabartiv lashon arvi. I have great regrets that I wrote in Arabic. I wish I had written in Hebrew. V'nei shakol tzrichim likroto, because everyone needs to read it. I'm waiting for the opportunity to translate into Hebrew because it's so crucial that everybody read. This is on the must reading list. So it's interesting that the Rambam starts off with a perspective that kind of is a pragmatic need that he kind of, you know, I got this project of Mishnah Torah, he ended up having to have a minyan ha-mitzvah. And since he had a minyan ha-mitzvah because he didn't want to be misunderstood, so therefore he felt he had to justify his minyan ha-mitzvah, so he wrote Sefer ha-mitzvah. And he had to explain the principles based on why he counted. So he wrote, Nu Nebuch, he had to write, the 14 Sharashim, right? That's what he writes in Takdama. If you look at the Sigeret, which he writes, and later on, he looks back and he says, you know, I made a mistake writing in Arabic. You know, things like this is like, you know, it's not so terrible. I just wrote it really with Shah and it wasn't really so crucial, whatever. As opposed to Mishnah Torah, which I wrote with Dorot. No, this is really important. There's some major yisodot here that really, really need to be understood, that every person needs to learn. Okay, so maybe it's not such a bad idea that we take a little bit of time to learn Sefer Mitzvah, because there are major, major principles here that we need to examine a little bit. Okay, so that's just a word about what the Rambam and Ramban respectively are trying to accomplish in this farm. Just a little bit. And obviously, as we learn through it, we'll, you know, see a lot more about that. Okay. One other question I want to address today in this introduction, and with that we'll stop and really begin learning on Sunday Brunette. The question that we have to think about is, what significance is there, if any, in even discussing what's included in the Tariq Mitzvot, how you count the Tariq Mitzvot, what difference does it make? Does it really matter whether something is one of the Tariq Mitzvot? Anyone who's learned any part of Sefer Mitzvot will tell you that the first thing you realize is that something could be, you know, could easily you could agree that it's min ha-Torah, you could agree that it is has the same halacha, etc., but because of other considerations, you won't count as one of the Tariq Mitzvot, right? Not everything that's d'oraisa is one of the Tariq Mitzvot. I'll give you a very simple example, okay? A detail of how to do something is not going to be counted as an independent one of the Tariq Mitzvot. Okay? That's the easiest one, perhaps, to understand, okay? In other words, we don't count each individual prat, each individual halacha, even if it's minat Torah, not every halacha is a mitzvah, right? So it's not one of the tagmas. Does that matter? Do you care? Does it really matter? I'll go even a step further. The Ramban, in the very beginning of his Hasagah and Sefer Mitzvah, questions whether it's even true that there is a Targ Mitzvah. Okay, I'll wear that. Not even Pasha that there are Targ Mitzvah. Who says there are Targ Mitzvah? Go a step further. I'd say that it's a tremendous Chiddush to say that there are Targ Mitzvah. Why is it a Chiddush? It's a Gemara at the end of Makot. What's the big Chiddush, right? And there's several Chazal that say that Targ Mitzvah. What's the big Chiddush? There's Targ Mitzvah. And this is very simple. Very nice that Rabbi Simlai tells us at the end of Makot that there are Targ Mitzvot, but you look at any number of sugyot, literally, no, countless sugyot, where there's a machloket about whether a certain thing is reshut or chover. Right? Look at the first sugya in Makot, in Sota, one of the examples that the Ramban gives. Look at the first sugya in Sota, and there are three machloks, and right away, whether certain things are mitzvot, whether they're just the Torah gives us permission to do them. Okay? Right away, that's going to change the count. Right? Someone has either three more or three less. So maybe there are 616 or maybe there's 610, just based on that. And then there's going to be, Ramban goes through one example after another. So who says that they're going to all balance out? Who says that, you know, just because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't count this, so he's going to count that, and who knows? It's an interesting question. So we don't even know if it's right there. Ramban happens to think, in the end of the day, that there probably are, and he'll work with that assumption, but it's not so clear. So that's something that we need to look at. Why does it make a difference? And the basic answer is that it's important to distinguish between, and this has to do with the tension between these two sources and the Rambam, why the Rambam is interested in the count of Targ Mitzvah, or why the Mahag is counting it, etc., etc., is only part of the story. But in the process of counting them, in the process of clarifying, it is it's kind of like an experiment that thereby clarifies all kinds of conceptual issues, both about the particular mitzvot and about the process of Torah Sheva'al Peh in general. And in the course of learning these things, it's going to be a prism through which we can understand countless important things. Okay? So much for an introduction. There's already almost 40 minutes more of an introduction than I ever do, but I think that it's important just to, you know, because Sefer Mitzvah is a little bit off the beaten track for many people, and it's really important, as the Rambam himself says here. So I want to just spend three more minutes just introducing what we're going to do first. I explain to you why we're going to do that first, since it's not immediately obvious, and from there we'll continue Be'ezra Hashem next week. Okay, ready? Because we're going to go. I just want to read you a sentence of the Ramban. Ramban says, in Hasagas on Shor Sheni, one sentence, and don't have to look inside, one sentence. He's talking about Shor Sheni, okay, the second of the 14 principles that the Rambam enumerates to clarify what's counting and what's not counting. The Rambam's Shor Sheni is that anything that is derived from a drush of Chazal, okay, such as the Yud Gimel Midot Chatar and Adresha Bahem, anything, be a Kal V'Chomer, Binyan Av, whatever it is, or Riboy, like there's a, you know, have the word Et, you know, Et L'Rabo, this, whatever, anything like that, any Drash of Chazal, anything that's not the simple text of Torah Shebichtav, or a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, okay, a direct, simple, clear Mesorah of Torah Sheva'al Peh, anything that is a drasha of Chazal, anything that Chazal derives from Yud Gimel Midot or other drasha of Chazal, is called Derabbanan or Midivrei Sofrim. Okay? Says the Ramban, after pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of critique of this, at the very end he sums up, and this is how he sums up. Again, keep in mind, it's after many pages. V'yadati ki od shmuot rabot bigmarat sotrot inyanot. Don't worry, says the Ramban. I know that besides the many pages of sources that I've thrown at you, that there are many, many other sugyot that go against what the Rambam says. I'm well aware of that. I know that there are, you know, could keep on going all day with Kash. Ki ha-sefer hazeh la-rav zal, sefer mitzvot, inyano mamtakim v'kulo machmadim. It's just, it's so great. I'm paraphrasing, honestly, I'm not translating literally, but this is like such a fantastic, fantastic sefer. Now remember, this is what the Ramban is saying. He has hasagot straight throughout. Right? But he's saying, this is a great sefer. I love all of it. It's all fantastic. This goes back to what we said earlier, right? That the fact that the Ramban critiques the Rambam for, you know, trashing the Bahag doesn't mean that he doesn't agree with the Rambam much of the time, even most of the time. But then he goes on and he says, it's all great. It's a wonderful sefer. Milvad, with the exception of Haikar Hazek, except for Sharashani. Shehu Oker Harim Gdolim Batamud. This is a fascinating twist of a phrase from the Gemara. Umapil Chomod B'tzirot B'Gemara. V'ha'inyan Lomdei HaGemara. For anyone who learns Gemara, this Sharashani is Ra Umar. Okay? Evil and bitter. Yishtakea HaDavar V'lo Yamar. Okay, he stopped slightly short of saying we should burn it. Anyhow, the Ramban very clearly says, the rest of Sefer Mitzvot, you could agree with something, disagree with it, it's a great Sefer. Great Sefer. I'll give my ass gum on it, no problem. Except for Sharashani. Sharashani would have been better to never have been written. It's terrible. It's awful. We should never even think, say, whatever. It should just be forgotten, what the Ramban says in Sharashani. Okay, Ezra Hashem, next week we'll begin with what the Rambam says in Sharashani. Okay, and over the course, I can't do it in one shot because people have struggled with Sharashani for about 700 years. so we're not going to do it in one shot. But Li Neder, over the course of a couple of Shiurim, I hope to get to what the Rambam in Sharashani means, why it's not at all difficult or problematic, and why I believe the Rambam would even agree with that. Okay, but you have to give me a little bit of time to do that. Okay, and in the course of that, I think we will see. And my point is, Sefer Mitzvah to a large degree rests on, you know, really, you know, rests and falls on Sharashani, because much of the rest of it depends on Sharashani, directly or indirectly, as you'll see. Sharashani is the key to everything. If you understand Sharashani, understand Sefer Mitzvah, and vice versa. But more than that, if you understand Sharashani properly, in my opinion, if you understand Sharashani properly, you understand a tremendous, tremendous amount about the whole halakha process and the whole idea of Torah Sheba'al Peh, both in terms of its history and in terms of its essence. So it's a really important thing to study, in my opinion. I think Sharashani is tremendously important. We'll have to discuss it together with Sharash Risha and Sharash Lishi. But ultimately, over the course of next week, Ezra Hashem, we will try to figure it all out. Okay? Have a good day.
Bye.
Shiran Yishayahu at 5:20, outdoors. We know that.